Philadelphia is suing the state of Pennsylvania so it can enact stronger gun laws. The lawsuit comes as more than 1,700 people have been shot in the city so far this year. The city has tried this before without much success. So why does Philly think a new legal strategy involving something called state-created danger could help them win this time? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY criminal justice reporter Aaron Mozell teamed up with Billy Penn's Layla A. Jones to dig into the lawsuit. Layla, the city and some other organizations recently got together to announce this lawsuit, and you were there, and it seemed like a pretty big event.
Yeah, so there was this press conference. It was in Germantown at Happy Hollow Rec Center, which is actually the oldest rec center in the city. And the city chose to have the press conference there because of the high rates of gun violence in that neighborhood. So there were state representatives, state senators, the mayor, city council people, other gun violence advocates and families that had been affected. They were all gathered around, masked up.
Well, folks, you all know why we're here.
And, you know, they were there to announce this big lawsuit.
Today, the city of Philadelphia joined with city council, Ceasefire PA, and Pennsylvanians who have been directly impacted by gun violence.
Mayor Jim Kenney was there, and he had said that this is a step in the right direction towards, you know, enacting what he thinks are just common sense gun laws.
2 years ago, we declared gun violence a public health emergency. Our fight for meaningful gun reform will not end. The lawsuit is a big step in that direction.
And then Health Commissioner Dr. Tom Farley spoke.
In Philadelphia, we have more deaths from homicide than we do from diabetes. Among black men in Philadelphia, the leading cause of years of life lost is homicide, more so than heart disease, more so than cancer.
There were also several people who are plaintiffs in the lawsuit who spoke about the family members that they'd lost to gun violence.
Hello, everybody.
There was a woman named Tamika Morales.
My son, Ahmad Morales, was killed just walking to the corner store.
And she said that the death of her son, Ahmad Morales, on July 3rd has been a nightmare.
This has left our family devastated. And something just has to be done. And I'm tired of saying that.
My son was 35 years old, had 5 children. And me and him, we loved each other. I mean, we loved each other. I loved him and he loved me.
There was also a gentleman named Stanley, better known as Brother Stan Crawford.
My grandson had to come down at the bottom of that step and see my son laying at the bottom of the steps with blood gushing out of his head.
Rough.
And he said that, you know, he and his family still live through that trauma. Mm.
Why exactly is the city suing the state about this?
The ultimate goal is they want cities like Philly and Pittsburgh to be able to pass their own gun control laws. This is something that they can't do right now and haven't been able to do for decades because of a piece of the Pennsylvania Uniform Firearms Act, which literally prohibits local municipalities like Philly, like Pittsburgh, from passing or enacting any gun control measures. And so kind of the main argument here is sort of if the General Assembly specifically is not going to take legislative action to stem gun violence, then you should kind of step aside and let local municipalities like Philly, like Pittsburgh, let them do that.
What kinds of gun control measures do they want to be able to put in place?
There's a long list. City Council wants to create a gun-free zone by prohibiting guns from public areas like parks, playgrounds, and rec centers. They want to ban assault-style weapons locally and really be able to enforce that ban locally. And to help curb straw purchasing, which is someone purchasing a bunch of guns illegally for someone who can't legally own them, and that already is illegal. But the city wants to put more stringent measures on it, so that would mean they would want to make it impossible to buy more than one gun per month.
That straw purchases measure the city has tried to pass before, right, and succeeded?
Yeah, so actually the city has tried to pass and has passed locally most of these measures already. But the city solicitor, Marcel Pratt, he explains at the press conference.
These laws and others are on the books in Philadelphia, but cannot be enforced due to preemption. But for preemption, Philadelphia would be enforcing these policies today.
The issue is they can't ever go into effect because they keep coming up against this Pennsylvania Uniform Firearms Act.
Right. So, Aaron, has the city ever tried this tactic of suing the state before?
The city has sued the state over gun control laws before, most recently in 2007. That was a year when the city recorded nearly 400 murders. But even with that much violence, the court ruled against the city, sided with existing law, this preemption law that we've been talking about. And that wasn't that surprising because courts tend to rule in favor of the state in cases where the final result would be, you know, undoing state law. The idea being that state laws are, as we know, passed by state representatives who were democratically elected. This case is a little different because it brings up an issue of constitutionality, which could, the city hopes, give it a better chance at winning.
What specifically are they saying?
So the city is zeroing in on a part of the Pennsylvania Constitution that says that the General Assembly has an obligation, a legal obligation, to, quote, preserve the safety and welfare of all citizens. And so the argument in this lawsuit is that by not allowing Philadelphia to create its own gun control regulations that could reduce gun violence, the state is violating that constitutional duty. And the way that the city plans on proving this harm is something called the state-created danger doctrine.
What's that about?
So normally this doctrine is used in cases involving an individual or a small group of people where the state had a responsibility to care for somebody or to act in a certain way and did not fulfill that duty. I talked to Martin Black, who's an attorney in Philly. He kind of laid out a couple of classic examples.
So the classic case would be you have someone who's in custody and they have a medical problem and the police don't act. You can sue the state on the ground that there's no other way for the person to obtain medical care.
So the city thinks that this idea of state-created danger could be a way to get through that process of overturning a state law?
Right. In this case, what the city is going to do is apply the state-created danger doctrine to the general public, specifically Philadelphia and other communities across the state who have been impacted by gun violence, specifically Black and Latino communities in Pennsylvania that have been hardest hit. And I should note here that it's not just saying, look at the devastation gun violence has brought to the city of Philadelphia. You know, part of what the city is going to have to do to successfully establish that lawmakers violated the Pennsylvania Constitution is show that, you know, had Philly been able to pass some of this stuff, that it would have reduced gun violence.
We'll be right back.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to reporters Aaron Moselle and Layla A. Jones about Philadelphia trying a new legal tactic to sue the state to enact its own gun control laws. Do we know how effective these kinds of measures that Philadelphia wants to put in place would be, I mean, it seems like a big part of this lawsuit is the city saying there are methods out there that work that they aren't being allowed to implement.
Yeah, so Adam Garber is the executive director at Ceasefire PA, and that's one of the plaintiffs in the suit. He says that they point to similar laws that they've seen work in similar cities or other places around the country.
For example, in Connecticut, after their permit to purchase, their licensing bill went into effect, they saw a 40% decrease over the coming years in gun homicides.
But Adam did, you know, mention that they don't have evidence for every ordinance that the city wants to try to pass. So, for example, the Philly law that wants to prohibit guns from parks and rec centers, that gun-free zone legislation, Garber says that that one just seems kind of like common sense.
If we can remove firearms from places where children are playing and they have no place being, it will, of course, reduce the risk of violence to children. And that seems like a pretty obvious direct connection to me.
And a study done by the RAND Corporation, which is a nonpartisan think tank, found no evidence that gun-free zones increased or decreased the number of gun violence incidents. So kind of the effectiveness of that particular legislation was found to be inconclusive. And the RAND Corporation did a study on whether banning assault-style weapons decreases violent crime, and that was also inconclusive. So some of the laws that the city wants to pass do have more evidence than others, but Philly advocates argue that it would like to be just given the chance to try and see how they work here with really pervasive levels of gun violence in the city. This year, we're on track to surpass those 391 people who were killed in 2007, the last time the city tried to sue the state.
But, you know, lawsuits like this can take years to come to any conclusion. And in the meantime, people are still dying from gun violence every day. So, Layla, how do folks in the communities that are affected by this kind of violence feel about the idea?
Sure, yeah. So I spoke to some people who live in the Germantown neighborhood around Happy Hollow, where that press conference was held, before and after the press conference. They actually said that what they really wanted to see and what they really thought would work was investment in the community.
Why don't we walk through the neighborhood and actually talk to the people? Where are the war leaders? Where are the committee people? Where are the block captains, right? They're the first line of defense.
A gentleman I spoke with named Pat Edward, he said that the gun violence crisis is really about people and that we, again, need to look at why it's happening and what's happening in the community. He specifically even went so far as to say that laws don't change anything.
People change stuff, right? It's just like guns. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. People who are disturbed kill people because it's something personal to walk up to somebody and just shoot them in the chest or the face.
And then there, I did speak to another man, Scott Warren Jr. He was interesting because, you know, he told me that he was actually a five-time felon and that he couldn't own a gun. However, he felt like having a gun was key to safety in certain neighborhoods and that more responsible gun ownership could help decrease gun violence incidents, not necessarily less guns on the street.
Some people out here who believe in a right to carry to protect our communities. You know what I'm saying?
He said, for example, for that gun-free zone at parks and recreation centers legislation, that, you know, kind of the idea that a good guy with a gun could help in a situation where there's a bad guy with a gun.
Right now, something happened out here, it probably take the cops 20 minutes to get out here. You know what I'm saying? If a shooting happens. So what if happened if these dudes spin a block and they keep shooting? What if a person have no right to defend himself? You know what I'm saying? We're going to sit there and stand there and get shot.
So none of those individuals really felt like suing the state was the right thing to do. But I did speak with another woman at a different anti-violence event, though she had attended the press conference.
Yes, my first name is Cicely, last name is Brown, and my attribute is Amina.
And she did agree that that suit could help.
They're just taking lives just to be taking lives, you know? And they have to get strict with these gun laws, you know, not allowing them to get a gun so easily, store purchases.
She said that if you lose a gun or your gun is stolen, you should be required to report that. That's one of the other pieces of legislation that the city wants to pass.
So, Aaron, what happens next for the lawsuit?
So now that Philly has filed a lawsuit in Commonwealth Court, the defendants that are named in the suit will have a chance to respond. That includes the General Assembly, it includes the Wolf administration, and it includes GOP leadership in the House and Senate. Typically, we would see that response, you know, about a month after the suit is served. Should note that, you know, Governor Wolf, who is a Democrat, ultimately supports the end goal of this suit, which is to reduce gun violence in communities like Philly and other places across the state. Right after the suit was announced, we also got a response from the Republican House Majority Leader. He's not named in the suit, but sort of is speaking on behalf of GOP lawmakers. His argument is basically that state preemption when it comes to firearms, the courts have upheld that over and over, and that it kind of feels to him like Democrats are just sort of trying to make an end run around the legislature basically by seeking to undo this statute through the courts rather than through the legislative process. So, you know, as we've mentioned, you know, this suit's going to take a while. It's going to take some time to find out how this is all going to shake out. What is true and what's important to note is that, you know, if Philly is successful here, it's a pretty big deal for Philadelphia, obviously. But it will also, at least according to one legal expert that I talked to, set some legal precedent, meaning, you know, other cities around the country that contend with a similar issue that have preemption when it comes to gun laws. This gives them potentially a kind of a roadmap for fighting that in court and also winning the chance for themselves to pass local gun laws.
Aaron Layla, thanks so much for your reporting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was WHYY's criminal justice reporter Aaron Moselle and Layla A. Jones of WHYY's Billy Penn. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and well, and we'll talk Monday.